Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. Without any further introduction, there will be no questions and answers. You can email me at overton81@gmail.com. We now give you Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everyone. God bless you. God bless you. It's quite interesting to realize that in my old age, I am teaching on the gospel of the spiritual ministry. I never thought that I'd be doing something like this, because during my years, when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s, I thought it was ridiculous talking about this, demons, these kinds of things, you know, because I was raised up in my little Methodist church back down in Savannah, and they taught there's no such thing as demons, there's no such thing as tongues and all this stuff. And all I heard my whole lifetime almost, that we have a written word, until God finally saw my heart, because I really deep down inside, I didn't accept it. So God exposed the truth to me. Praise the Lord. Tonight, I want to talk on you about deliverance ministry, talk about demons and these kind of all different types of demons, their functions and their responsibilities and kind of stuff. But before we do, I want to go into prayer. Let us go in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, the world Redeemer, I come to you, Father, and I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge, Lord, and wisdom and understanding. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit empowers me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. And Father God, may our minds, that's me and the listeners, be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray, Father, that the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, move in such power, Lord, that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, the world Redeemer. Amen and amen. And I pray, Father God, that your words will bring salvation to those who need it, healing to those who need it, and deliverance who need to be delivered to all here in your presence this evening. And it's in the name of your precious, precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the world Redeemer, I pray. Amen. Now, I always say another prayer before I get into deliverance ministry. When we're going to do some deliverance, even when I'm about to teach about deliverance, sometimes we can be attacked. Some things can come up behind you. So I'm going to pray the prayer of protection regarding spiritual warfare prayer. And it goes something like this. Father God, I am thankful for your mighty armor you have provided for me so that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Father God, I therefore put on the helmet of salvation, to protect and guard my mind and thoughts, and also the breastplate of righteousness to protect my heart, that I may maintain a right relationship with you, Father, with you and God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and man as well. And I put on the girdle of truth, Father, that I may avoid every form of dishonesty or compromise. I take the word out of context. And I put on the shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that I may be ready, Father, to present and defend the gospel to the unbelievers. And there's a lot of who really don't believe in you, and especially the ministry of deliverance. And I also put on the shield of faith, Father God, to cover my total personality and my spirit, my soul, and my body. And I put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, your word, Father, and the weapon of all prayer, which must be prayed in the Spirit, that is in tongues. I confess no weapon formed against me will succeed nor prosper. I have been given authority over all the power of the enemy, Father God, by faith, and nothing, Father God, shall harm me. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus of Nazareth, I pray. Amen and amen. So again, good evening to all you pillars. Some are pillars and some not. This evening, at the request of many of you, I decided to teach on deliverance ministry. And some of the information I'm going to cover would be as follows: the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. What is the difference between those two kingdoms? I want to talk about the demons, all the different types of demons and their attributes and their functions. And I want to share with you how demons operate, their ministry, and how they gain control and access into human beings, and how demons, how they can cause you to go astray. And now, like I say, a lot of them don't know my education, so I'll just give you a brief thing. With respect to my education, I have three master's degrees. The first one I got was in human resources when I went to college to become in personnel administration, and I had 30 years of experience. After I received my master's in personnel administration, I got on with the federal government, and I hired federal employees for 30 years, hiring people for federal positions. Then God called me into the ministry when I was, I guess, when I had about 25 years under my belt with the federal service, so I went to evening classes at the seminary. There I gained two master's degrees. I gained one in Christian counseling. That was after 2 years. And after my third year, the required 3 years, I received my master's in theology. And as a result of my theology master's degree, God appointed me at a hospital where I was a chaplain for 25 years. Amen and amen and amen. That's my background. But again, I'm going to try to just briefly talk about the kingdom of God, demons, their attributes, their functions, how they operate, and it's all kinds, brother, and how they gain control over mankind or womankind. And I'm going to talk about a few other things that the Lord would put onto my in my spirit. I want to share some scripture with you first, and come from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Let me turn to Matthew 7:21. All righty. Okay, 7:21. Okay, 7:21 reads as follows. Let's see. No, I don't want that one. The Holy Spirit leads me to something else. Okay, we go. Matthew 7. 7:21 and 20. All right, I'll go back to Matthew 7:21. And it reads as follows. Well, I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the first thing you always give me, because there's a lot of men who are trying to slick and slide and these kinds of things. And God wants your heart. He wants you, period. Period. He wants you, period. Okay, now, thank you, Lord. I'll do what you tell me to say. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. In other words, no sidestepping. We got to follow him. He wants y'all to know that. Period. Before we get into it, he says, you got to follow me and be real with me. And he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He want me to just expand on that just a little bit. I mean, I don't care if God gave you some special gifts, lay hands on the sick and they heal, and people just getting to fall out and loving the Lord, but if you backsliding and doing all kind of little side things, guess what? He want me to tell you, says, the Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you're hanky-panky doing all these things, he says, guess what? The Holy Spirit gone, and you don't even know. You walk around and don't praise the Lord, sister, praise the Lord, blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit gone. The Holy Spirit say, I'm not going to stay in this body while you're around there doing hanky-panky with that woman, hanky-panky with that man, hanky-panky with that child. You think I'm going to stay in your body? Your body's supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body, I'm supposed to be laying around and hanging around in your body while you're going around there doing all that hanky-panky at night and all that other kind of stuff. So God, see, I'm supposed to start off with the demons. And God says, I just dip a little second, just sidestep. See, I want you to know that I don't care how blessed you are, that's my blessing. But if you sidestep and decide you want a little hanky-panky a little bit, before you know it, your body's not the temple of the Holy Spirit anymore. Your body's the temple of some demon that got you doing all those things, you see. So that was Matthew 7, verse 21 and 23. Then he led me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and it reads, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Pretty sure y'all heard the word. We don't do that nowadays. We have this written word. I know so many people, we have written word, but you wouldn't know it as soon as they open their mouth. God was something. He was doing this for all of us, not just them. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8, 9, and 10, talk about three things that he's going to cancel out when he returns. It says prophecy and tongues and revelation. And he says, that will come, and that which is perfect come, then it will cease. So he said, when that which is perfect, that's Jesus Christ. So, and you look at it, it says, it didn't say tongues have ceased. It says tongues will cease. And I go, you know, the Lord had to show me that, because he said, hey, you idiot, can't you, have you heard? Tongues have ceased. And then I was challenged by the Lord. I said, where does that say? And I said, so I said, oh, that's in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. No, I don't think so. I look at it and say, prophecy will cease, and tongues will cease, and the other prophecy and stuff. And he says, it didn't say has. It says tongues will. Will is present tense, my son. I said, oh. So I prayed, and then I got my little English book that I had when I was high school, and looked up two words, shall and will. And both gave millions of examples that there are present tense. How can you say? It didn't say has. It says will. Look at it. And I look at five different versions. And do you know they either say tongues will cease or tongue has ceased? I mean, tongues will cease and tongues, tongues will cease. Yeah, tongue will cease when that which is perfect comes. Tongue shall cease when that which is perfect comes. That which is perfect comes is Jesus. So I say, thank you, Lord. So anybody want to debate with me now, I'll give them that same scripture. And knowledge, prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. And see, the devil trick you. You see nothing about no knowledge. I don't hear nobody talking. Haven't you heard that knowledge has ceased, you dummy? Knowledge has ceased. And I say, I don't think so. You know? So the devil got picked on tongues. You know why? Because tongues is when the Holy Spirit speaks through us and manifests his presence in us and give us things and pray for us and everything else. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to speak to the pastor. Pastor might not thinking about that. God say, I'm going to give him a revelation. And so the Holy Spirit say, speak in my language, my son. The Holy Spirit have you going, Shakiri anakata parasika, lehekina hakita parasokori anakiti anna, kala parasokori anakiti pirishikiti anakabara. So, and right on. And then when you get through, and then you say, oh my God, I don't have the gift of interpretation. What did I say? And then the Holy Spirit say, appoint somebody in the choir. It could be the choir director. It could be the church director. It could be just one of the regular members. Say, pastor, 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 the Lord gave me an interpretation. Now, when he gives an interpretation of what you say in tongues, he will give it to two people so one won't be lying. And each one will have the same confirmation of what the pastor said in tongues. And the pastor will be going, wow, did I say that? I see myself saying a lot of times, did I say that? You know, sometimes I'm being the cab. And all of a sudden, I felt led to pray in tongues. And I go, Hishikadiyan, Nakatapara Sokoria. And the next thing I know, the cab driver was a Spanish guy. He looked at me and said, I didn't know you were Spanish. So God can use us. But I want you to know, I say all that to say that we got to be humble. We can't be proud when we're dealing with demons. Demons are deadly. Okay? All right, that was 10:1. Now, the Lord tell me to go to this one. He says, go to. Okay, Lord. Okay. Mark 9:9, verses 42, and it says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he has been cast into the sea. And he gave me that because through revelation knowledge, there are a lot of so-called hierarchies of messing around with these little children and hanky-panky with these little kids. When God said, I'm watching you, but you're in deep trouble. So whoever is guilty of that, I suggest you stop because God is watching, okay? And then Mark 16, okay, Lord, okay, Mark 16:15-17, it says this, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then he says this, these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name, and they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. Amen. I said, okay, Lord, you got it, you got it. And then the last one he gave me, I said, oh, he's on through, got one more for you. Boy, I love to sit down with the Lord. Ephesians 6 says this, verses 10, 11, and 12. He says, 10, 11, and chapter 6, verses 10, 11, 12, okay. Verse 10 says this, and finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He's saying that because some people think we can tell the devil, say, go somewhere else. the hell with you, devil. I don't need you. You ain't nothing. You ain't, and we can't beat the devil with words, without psychology, anything else. What the Lord is saying is, you better get, you better learn spiritual warfare. You better learn the armors of God, my armors to put on. You better know those things. And he says, and I'm going to tell you what you need to put on. He says, first of all, I want you to know you're not struggling against flesh and blood. Them things are demons. They are rulers. They are powers. They are against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then he so says in 13, verse 13, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking up the shield of faith, which will you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, all his tricks and everything, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And I kept going. God said, hold up. Say that again. Verse 18 says, with all prayer and pray at all times in the Spirit. That's me. And so he had to clarify. He said, I don't mean, yes, Lord, praise the God. He said, in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit praying, interceding for you and for others that need prayer. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. I said, Lord, well, I'm just learning all this. I'm an 80-year-old man. I just turned 80. Well, I knew all this stuff when I was in my 20s, when I was in my 30s, when I was in my 40s, when I was in my 50s. And here I am in my 50s, learning all this stuff, learning about demons and everything else. God said, I saw your heart, son. You always seeking the truth. Even though they told you we have it, but deep down inside, you never received it. You just look at it, But you never really received it in your spirit. And I'd honor that. So I'm teaching you. I said, praise the Lord. All right, so that take care of the scripture thing. And like I said, I want to touch on, the Holy Spirit woman to touch on it. Okay, what I want to start with, when you about to go into the ministry and somebody coming at your church and you're in the basement and you're in the office, you better have somebody with you. It's not a single kind of thing. Whenever you're doing exorcism, you need to have someone with you. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things you need to do before you do it. It says, begin with worship and praise. Don't tell the person what you do. All right, what's your name? Oh, all right, you demon, come out. I am Dr. So-and-so-and-so-and. I graduated from such and I have. I'm a triple crown bishop. And that demon look at you and say, man, take your little resume and shove it. you ain't nothing holy. You don't have no power. What you mean? I said, come out. So hold up. You don't have any power in me because you in sin. You got my brothers in you. And then the person, what you mean? The pastor said, what you mean? I got your brothers and me. He said, well, because you're in homosexual thing, you lusting, you masturbator, you doing this, you lying, you stealing money out of the church. Those my demon brothers in you, buddy. You got demons and you don't even know it. Why do you think you can't stop doing what you're doing? You just can't stop leaving that man alone or that woman alone or that child alone with your fingers playing with that child. Shame on you. So he says, you can't do that because that demon will break your neck. You need to, and many nights we see it in person where guys say, come out and have my Jesus. And the demon say, one more word. I said, come out. In a second, the demon, I stripped that dude butt naked. He's up in the ceiling. Some ministers were listening tonight, seeing that the other night in person. The demon stripped the clothes off. The officer sent it up in the ceiling, telling me, help me, Brother John. Brother Emmett, help get me down. Butt naked up there. And all the congregation looking at him like he's some fool kind of thing. You can't demand chastise any demon unless you're righteous. Yes, you can be a chaplain all day long, 7 days a week, and you won't get into it. Nobody knows. You can be holy on Sunday and screw around on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you can go to your hospital and be a chaplain. Praise the Lord, that chaplain. Hello, my child. Hey, God bless you. You can just be a regular minister and hanky-panky Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday. Good evening, my child. God bless you. Yes, Pastor, yes. Bless you. But once you get into deliverance ministry, it's a different story. Because soon as they bring that young lady in to, so she can be cast a demon, she got several demons, and most of them we know are really a princess of Satan. They love Satan. They in there destroy your ministry. We got guys going around now offering pastors $100,000, $200,000 if they, when they preachers leave the name Jesus Nazareth out, don't say nothing about tongues and all that, because they know what spirits and what, and they just want you to keep saying, we have his written, we have his written word. And so you got, yeah. And pastors accepting $100,000, $200,000, you know, and they call us and say, look what I got, niggas, you know, this kind of stuff. And they end up getting hurt. So what I say, begin with worship and praise. Don't when the person come to your office to be delivered, don't say, okay, what's your name? Yeah, okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray. You demon, come out. Don't do that. What you're supposed to do is ask the Holy Spirit for a word of knowledge. When you're casting out demons and ministering to someone who's demon-possessed, you don't use your M-I-N-D, mind. The Holy Spirit tell you step by step by step, and that demon inside that person looking at you, monitoring your thoughts and everything, oh, yeah, yeah, he don't know this. He ain't got no power. He, hell, he's a homosexual. He's a lesbian. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a this and he's a that. Oh, man, cut, piece of cake. You know, come out, and that demon say, well, you one more thing, and then boom. So be sure, because they scam you while you're talking, oh, my, oh, I graduated from such and such a, you know, that's a tie, you know, that you're going to say, that dude's crazy as hell. You'll be laughing while you're talking. So remember, ask the Holy Spirit, what should I say? How should I? The Holy Spirit will tell you, because sometimes you say, what's your name, demon? I can't catch you unless I know your name. What's your name? And demons say, figure it out. They tell us that a lot of times. I tell Brother Henry to figure it out. I'm not here to figure out, and the Holy Spirit say, I got it. His name is Bugasso, you know, and that kind of thing. All kind of, sound like African names, you know. And then, who told you what my name is? Said Jesus. Oh, Lord. You can hear him, you know. I'm going. You know, the kind of stuff, because they fear Jesus. So, first of all, before you go into that room with that demon-possessed person, to give you a word of knowledge so you would know exactly, because you won't say, because you ask the woman, say, what's wrong with you? Oh, nothing wrong. They just think I'm crazy. They brought me here talking about I'm full of demons. So that's a demon talking back at you. So, hey, girl, get out of here. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Demons say, Because I can remember when I was working in the hospital as a chaplain. A woman was, I was new in it just about like 12, 13 years ago. And they said, Brother John, you need to go talk to this woman. That's crazy. She's stupid. I think she got a demon or something. So I walk in there. How you doing, dear? She said, who are you? I said, I'm Chaplain John. What's a chaplain? I said, well, same thing as a minister in the church, you know, pastor. Oh, I didn't call for you. I said, I know you did, ma'am. I just make my rounds just to pray for everybody. I don't need no prayer, you know, kind of thing. I said, well, you know, you don't mind me praying for you. Yeah, man, I said, well, come on, let me pray with you. And then she, oh, well, I'm kind of tired. I've been up all night. I really enjoy you coming to pray for me. I'm Chaplain John. Could you come back about in a half hour, hour? Because I've been up half night going to sleep, you know. And I said, sure. She said, oh, bless you, Chaplain John. And then I left. And then I went into my office, got a Coke, drank a Coke, and then went into the in the office there, excuse me, in the room where they sell the lounge where they sell Cokes and potato chips and all. I walk in the place and saw the man in there in the corner and going, is laughing. And I said, oh, my God. And then the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, you've been duped, boy. That woman was demon-possessed. That was that demon. Said, could you come back a little later, Chaplain? I'm pretty tired. It would be nice of you. And I go, yes, dear. I thought I'd be nice. Yes, dear, no problem. When you want me to come? Oh, about an hour. Then, okay. I went in my office up there, and then I went into the lounge and they get a Coke or something, biscuit or something. And woman in there, yeah, man, so-and-so laughing. I said, well, I'll be doggy dogs. And those said, you've been duped. You've been duped. All right, so you have to get a word of knowledge from the Lord. Then you got to get, and then he'll give you scriptures to read. You know, I'm talking about preparation for you to come out. You talk to the Lord first, and then God will reveal the Father to you. He'll tell you what to say, what not to say. He didn't say tell you what your mind said. I think I'll say this to sound heavy. If I say this, I can frighten you. And then be laughing at you like a fool. So follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and always have someone with you, not by yourself. Because sometimes the woman stripped by naked right in front of you, hoping that demon can have you to rape the woman, seduce the woman, or change your mind about delivering her and thinking about getting a little piece. And they slick, man, they're stripped naked right in front of you before you know it. So a word of knowledge during the prayer, God may reveal a word of knowledge, and then he'll give you some scripture that you say, and he'll give you a vision of what's going on in that person's life. And then he'll give you words of faith and give you a special anointing. And then you go, well, how do demons gain access? Let me plug this way, plug back up. It just slipped out of the wall. I don't want to go dead on you guys. Okay. How demons gain access. There are several different ways that they can gain access into you. But you know what? I want to switch just 1 second to how they gain access to your mind, because the battlefield, like we go into war against Chinese, Japan, Germany, the American soldiers, the Marines, Army, Navy, Air Force always go into their country to fight. They never came over here. We were always pressed that way. Well, guess what? The devil battleground is our minds. When I say minds, what are you talking about, Brother John? Well, you know, like, hey, man, I'm taking up this offering plate. Like some deacon had to confess to me one time and say, he put, instead of putting in a check, they're putting $20 bills, $50 bills, and I got tempted a couple of times, Brother John, and I just stuffed one of the $50 bills in my pocket because I wanted to take my family out to lunch and you know, and got about 1,200 members. So, hey, man, I got about $300 or $400 in $50 and $20 bills I stuffed in my pocket. But of course, we had to take it upstairs so we can count it. I said, I don't. He said, yeah, the Lord convicted me, John. And I'm going to pay the thing back. I said, well, okay, you go talk to the pastor. You mean that? Yeah, go talk to him, you know. And he did. So how does Satan work against our mind? All these thoughts come into my mind. And I used to ask people, say, well, how do you know? You know, if I get a temptation or I get a thought or something like that, how I know it's the devil or how it knows me or how it knows the world or how I know it's the flesh? This is stay in the word. If you know the word, if the word says thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that and these kind of thing. And then when that thought comes into your head, you're going to say, because I find myself, go, boy, the devil liked me to get my behind back to where it was, man. I was one unholy, holy, roly duty when I was in my 20s and my 30s, you know, and be sitting up there the big time deacon every Sunday, praise the Lord, sitting up in the front row with 14 other deacons, you couldn't tell me nothing. And I just love first Sunday when we put on our white outfit and I serve communion, going from aisle to aisle and praise the Lord and giving the wine, and couldn't tell me I wasn't a big shot. I was one, especially when I got to be head of the deacon board, couldn't tell me nothing for sure, you know. I just couldn't wait the first Sunday come. Yeah. And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm cussing like a champ and looking at the girls and everything else and thinking awful thoughts and wishing evil on people and all these kinds of things. How I can get even with somebody, how I can trick the boss, everything. I was just a churchgoer. That's all to God finally had to talk to me personally. And so dig this. Satan works against the mind. And I'm going to tell you about 14 ways he works against the mind. One, he causes us to question the authority of God. You find that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Second, he causes us to use the flesh the wrong way, y'all. You find that in Romans 7 chapter, verse 23. And the devil causes us to develop wrong motives. And you know what I mean by wrong motives? Well, you find that in Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. He causes wrong attitudes. He causes us to rebel against the word of God, period. You find that in 1 Samuel 15, 23. He brings forth accusation. We always accuse somebody. He'll bring accusation against them. I shouldn't have done that. I don't commit suicide because God can't forgive me for doing this and that kind of a thing. So he calls hurtful accusations, start hating yourself and hurt yourself for what you did in the past kind of thing. And then you go, I don't want to live no more kind of thing. He calls sexual impurity. Well, we know what sexual impurity is. He calls confusion. So I don't know if I should do this or not. I wonder what the Bible say about that. Well, I don't know. And then when you're thinking God is a devil, send somebody to him, child, that ain't nothing wrong with that. No. If he didn't want you to have sex, he wouldn't give you a penis or even give you a vagina. Don't be crazy. You know, the kind of thing. Compromised ethics and morality. That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Satan works against the mind. Now, he bring a wrong mental focus. He starts focusing on something he ain't got no business focusing on. 2, verse 15. And he causes us to be overactive sometimes in our thinking. He make us become impatient. And he causes us to withdraw from seeking God because people start making fun of him. Oh, he's a religious fanatic, and that goes to your spirit. You just want to give up. Then I said, well, that's what you want to teach me, Lord. And the boy, you know, I'm taking notes and writing. I've been doing this now like 14 years now. But get this thing, 14 years from now, I was like 68, 69. I'm 80 now. I ain't learned none of stuff when I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, y'all. How demons gain access. Because I just found out, I just said, Lord, I want to know. When I found out the tongues are real, I said, hey, I've been duped all my years 20 years raised up as a Methodist, and we have written word. 20-something years as a Baptist, we have it. And I just said, look, why am I'm comfortable with all this? He said, because I am protecting you, son. I know your heart. You want to know the truth. And besides, I'm answering your grandmama's prayer. She's been praying to you that you will become a righteous man. I said, you know what? That's true. Because everybody in the family was party jamming, and I had one holy, holy grandmama. And every time everybody would go out to party and to drink and everything else, my grandmama had to babysit me, and all I sometimes it'd be gone for hours. And grandmama had me, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And I'd be looking around and going, who are you talking? I said, grandmama, who are you talking? I'm talking to Jesus, grandson. You know, that kind of thing. And then when, especially when I was a baby, 2 and 3, she had me in her lap. And she told me, Lord Jesus, thank you for this grandson of mine. And I just praise Lord. And I'm going to live in who just went. And that's all I saw from the time I was 2 years old to the time I left home. And when my family said, when I said, I'm finished college, I'm going to New York and get me a good job here. Goodbye, son. Goodbye, nephew. And then my grandma said, come here, boy. And I woke up and she said, I'm going to be praying for you that you get saved. I said, huh? So you heard me. I'm going to pray that you get saved one day. Do you hear me? And I go, yes, grandma. Say, okay, but shoot, I went to New York, man, and got away from grandma and partied like I don't know what, John, because Sam caught up with me. And I went to the military and came back home, and then God started dealing with me. How demons gain access? Guess what? The following list describes how demons can gain access into you. One, through alcohol, involvement in command and mind control dealing. They can get involved. They can gain access in you by messing with dealing Ouija boards. You know, people say, hey, let's go buy a Ouija board. We can ask the Ouija board all kind of questions. And it's a lot of chips in the spell out and give us the answer. And people say, hey, man, you dumb as hey. Chips can't spell out itself. Talking to you, it's got to be a demon. Sure enough, it is, because when a person messes with most people that we confronted with, they have past experience with Ouija boards because they open themselves up to demon sessions. How demons gain access again? Through family influence. You're like a lot of the gay guys that I know who came to counseling and everything else. And I asked them, how did they get into it? You know what? 8 out of 10 times, they said their uncle molested them when they were 14 and 15 and 16 years old. So how did they do that? Well, my brother and my sister wanted me to babysit because they had to go, so I'm going to him to babysit. And when he came, he used to play with my booty, put his finger in my butt and stuff like that, and made me do all kinds of things, blow jobs and stuff. I said, my God, I'm not lying. 8 out of 10 homosexuals that I dealt with was either was turned or perverted by a family member who the other family members trust. That's it. Yeah, I beat myself to the punch. I said, how to gain this? I got family influence. No sinful habits. You keep on doing. I don't know why I can't stop. I can't stop smoking these cigarettes. I can't stop. I can't leave this dope down. See, you keep on and keep on until the devil hook you. And then you don't. This is my last time to find out you can't do it. And if you try your best to quit doing that evil thing what you're doing, then that's the clue. Say, ha, I'm in you now, buddy. I got you hooked. You are mine. You are mine. I just can't stop it. And sometimes when you go see your pastor, if the pastor don't know, I'll be praying for you, son. Don't worry about it. You got to be sure. Your pastor knew about deliverance ministry. Like I used to do when I was pastoring for the first 5, 6 years. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Such a song, song. Don't worry about it. God bless you. God bless you. Go in peace. And then when they go, I ain't doing nothing else. All right. How demons gain access? Through hatred. There's one child might be hated by their family members and love the other and give the other preferential treatment. And then the other child grew up to hate you and everything else and follow the sayings and the leading gang members and everything else because they feel more accepted by them than their own mother or their own father. So hatred and rejection would cause a person to reject God. And then physical violations. That was emotional violation. You become hatred and you reject everybody. Physical violation when somebody rape you, when somebody in the family screw you, which is called incest, you being rejected by other folks. Thank you, Lord. Let's see. Yeah. What comes to my mind right now is the attacks against Christians by demons. What do they do to us? What do they do? Well, first of all, what kinds are there? You know, you got their rankings. They're called principalities. That's the top dog of the ministry of evil spirits. Then the second one in power called powers. You got principalities, number one. is the top demon dogs. You got powers that come under them, and then you got rulers of the darkness, and then you got spiritual hosts of wickedness. And I'll explain what each one does. Demons serve different functions. Well, what do they do, Brother John? What do they do? Well, when you have evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. You know, you might be laying in bed, home by yourself, and start thinking all kind of evil things, you know, getting evil with somebody, especially immoral. You know, I know what immoral is. I don't have to define all that. Then you get in the bed, well, I'm thinking all this stuff. Man, I ain't did that so many years. Sometimes those demons will bring up old times and say, don't you remember you did that? Didn't you have a good time? You got the thrill of your life. Yeah. And so, you know, you fall right into it, man. It won't hurt because, I mean, I ain't no angel. I ain't perfect. God forgive me, kind of a thing. Evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. That's Luke chapter 7, verse 21. Unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. Where you find that, Brother John? You find that in Mark chapter 3, verse 11. Let me back up. Evil spirit, they influence immoral acts. You find that in Luke chapter 7, verse 21. Then you have unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. You know what unclean thoughts are? And you find that in the book of Mark, man. Mark, verse chapter 3, verse 11. What else? The spirits of infirmity. They inflict all kinds of diseases, AIDS, herpes, all that stuff on your butt. They inflict the body. You find that in book Luke, chapter 13, verse 11. And then deceiving spirits, how they trick your panty. They produce false doctrines. We have this written word, and the tongue has ceased. Tongue has ceased. That's a show me. And I got all five versions, and it says tongue shall or tongues will. And the Lord said that's perfect tense. And he says, look at verse 10. And it says, what does it say? I say, it says, tongues will, sir. Look at the other verses. Tongues shall, sir. Tongues will. Do you know your English? Yes, sir. What is will? Is it past, present, or future? Future, Lord. Amen. I love the Lord. So deceiving spirits, they produce false doctrines. They produce cults. You got all these different kinds of crazy religions, you know. Then they have false teachers. And sometimes the teachers are false and don't even know it because they're teaching what they've been taught in school. Like, for an example, when I went to seminary, here I am. How old was I? I was 32 years old going to seminary because God finally called me into the ministry kind of thing. And the pastor and the teacher, the instructor, the doctor, would always say, we start off with prayer every morning before I teach. And each student going to have an opportunity to preach the word, I mean, teach, say the prayer prior to our beginning our class study. And Mr. John, your time. I said, no problem. 30 other students in the class, you know, all of them in there. They're not in there. They finished college. They're in seminary now. They're 25, 26, 27, 28. Hear me. I'm a 45-year-old man sitting up in that class with all those 22 and 23 and 30-year-old kids. And I say, so I start off and say, well, we're listening. I say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want so. And the man says, hold up. And I go, excuse me. Everybody look at the doctor who teaches theology. He says, what did you say? I said, I ain't said anything. Yes, sir. I just opened my mouth. I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus. He said, no, we don't pray like that here. I said, what you mean? Well, let me like you, boy. I've been in the seminary for 30 years teaching theology. We don't say in my class, our Father. We say our Father, our Mother. We cherish you and we worship you and so on. So I said, why would you say that? Because you might have some bigots there who wrote the Bible, you know, like, you know, back in the days, women couldn't even vote, women couldn't do nothing. And probably they didn't want the woman, sure, women had power. So God wanted everybody to think, God, well, the writer of the Bible, wanted to make everybody believe that God was a man. He could be a woman, who knows? So we covered our back. We say, our Father, our heaven. Now, do you understand? I looked at my man, this is my first day sitting in the class. I said, Pastor, I said, Professor, he goes, yeah. Everybody turned around and said, oh, Lord, what did Johnson say? I said, you know what? You're an idiot. He said, what did you say to me? I said, you heard me. How long have you been preaching? 30 years. And you're talking about you don't know if God is a father or a mother? Huh? What, you disputing me, son? I have a doctorate degree. I've been here 30 years. I said, well, obviously you didn't learn the thing. He said, you're about to get your butt kicked out of this class. I said, I can care less. You know what everybody tells me? Say, you don't want to go there, John. That's not a seminary. I mean, it's not a seminary, it's a cemetery. I said, that's what you got here, a cemetery. Why you want to why are you going to say that? I said, because obviously you don't know Jesus. What do you mean by that? I said, Jesus, they say, Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. I said, did Jesus say, our Father, mother, huh? What did he say? Our mother, which are in heaven? What did he say, huh? That was exaggerated. Did he say our mother, huh? I get your point. I said, you think Jesus don't know whether his father is a mother or a father? And I said, y'all can take this class and shove it. And I walked out the class, and I got home. My wife said, you crazy. You know, you had to pay $700 for that class. I mean, you know, because you're taking two classes. You're being said. She said, you know, you're going. And she looked at the papers and everything else. She said, looking at this thing's closed tomorrow, the last day, for you not to lose your money. If you let tomorrow go by, because you only go on Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. If you don't go to tomorrow, guess what? You lose all $700 because you told people you quit and everything else. And tomorrow is the last day to recoup the money, your tuition. I said, what? Man, I went back. So I said, thank the Lord. I didn't read it till I had the papers and everything. I was just mad. So they saw me next to me walking. Everybody was shocked. Oh, Lord, look who just walked in, Brother John. Kind of thing. He said, I see you back. I said, yeah. My wife told me I lost $700. That's why I'm back. Mm-hmm. And that was it. He gave me a C. I should have gotten A. He gave me a C because he's still peeing with me. So demons serve different functions. Evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. Unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. Spirits of infirmity inflict the body. I gave you the scriptures in Luke 13:11. Deceiving spirits, they deceive and give you false doctrines and everything else. We have his written word. You say, yeah, well, what else you do? Tongue has ceased. And I say, also, the tongue says, do not rebuke tongues. All right. Demons attack in various ways. Listen at this, y'all. Number one, they quote scriptures. The same thing. Tongue has ceased, and they quote it wrong. You say, I mean, tongues, yeah, they say tongue has ceased. We've got millions of ministers all around here. I'll tell you that in a minute. You idiot, they call me up, and let me call, you stupid, you don't know nothing about no Bible. Tongue has ceased! And the kind of thing. I go, open your Bible. Then you go, oh, God, then you hang up on me. Quote, so demons attack in various ways in carrying out Satan's plan. They quote scriptures. You find that in Matthew 4:6. They teach their own doctrines about tongues and all the other stuff. I'm a church. And then let me see. They teach their own doctrine. That's 4:1. They transform themselves into an angel of light. They'll do anything to trick you to believe they're who they say they are. You find that in 2 Corinthians 11:14. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. You find that in Acts 13:10. They afflict the body, cause all kind of sickness and all the fault on you. So you'd be mad at God. And I was going to church, and every time I turn, I'm sick and so on. You know, I had two miscarriages, and I asked God to give me, and look what happened to me. They afflict the body, 2 Corinthians 12:7. They tempt with hypocrisy and lying. Well, for example, Trump. Trump lied his butt the whole 4 years been there. They counted, I think, it's over 7,000 lies. He lied like a child. I mean, it's normal him to lie. They tempt with hypocrisy and lying. He's a racist and a liar. And guess what the Bible says? You find that in Acts 5:3. They tempt you to lie in a minute. As soon as you expect, you know if you're going to get your butt whipped by your mom and daddy. Or you about to get fired by your boss. You're lying in a minute to save your job. So they tempt with hypocrisy and lying. They sow tears. In other words, they just plant wicked, lying theology to you regarding God's kingdom. You find that in Matthew 13:30-39. And they tempt with pride. Now, this is the one that gets me. I know sometimes, well, Brother John, you don't understand. You non-denominational now. I said, no, I ain't got nothing wrong with Baptist, Methodist, anything. You got the godly and the ungodly and every religion. Ain't no pew, ain't no. Say, we dog religion. You, if you ain't our faith or faith, you going to hell. So, no, you got the good and the bad in every denomination. That's what God told me. He said, son. And I said, you got to be a Baptist. You got to be a Methodist. You got to be a Catholic. You got to be this and you got to be that. No. He said, I don't look at your church. Yeah, I do, because that's my church. He says, but I look at your spirit. And don't come up to me talking about, I got quadruple crown bishops. I got 5 master degrees. And just going one, he said, just going one ear and out the other, Brother John. He says, I look at your spirit. And nobody come up here unless you truly love you with all their heart and soul and spirit. Nothing unrighteous coming here, not even a lie. He said, look at First Corinthians. No, he says, the book of, which one was it? Can't remember right now, but it says, even lies going, yeah. Revelation, yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Revelation 21:8. It says, even lies going to hell along with perverts and these kinds of things. They tempt you with pride. That's it. That's 1 Timothy 3:6. That's how the devil said, go ahead, go ahead. And sometimes we witness the guys getting their triple crown bishop, and what happened? They're coming down that, I mean, today, yesterday, and last week, coming down that riding on a donkey with a robe and diamond rings on every finger, on every hand, and got 100 pallbearers on one side of the donkey he's riding on, and 100 more, 50 on one side and 50. We seen that on the monitor. And he walked and then they get off with a crown, a cross, about 15 feet high, and tell me, hi, I am Dr. Sonson. Hi, I'm Triple Crown. Come out, you demon, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of him. I am Dr. Sonson. And that demon said, you kiss my, you don't have nothing to say to me. You ain't got no power. You say one more word to me, and I'll have your butt. You must be in here. What I said, I am Dr. Sonson, and I've got two doctors reason. Boom. That pastor's butt naked in a second. This happened almost every other night, y'all. I'm not lying. They get up told me, I am. Like the devil, I am. Remember them five I ams, and he got his butt kicked out of hell. I'm out of heaven. Mm-hmm. I am Dr. So-and-so. I went to university, so-and-so. I got 7,000 numbers in my church. You do what I say. You hear what I say? And demons say, oh, heck. Wham! And then all his clothes, he's next to him. Help me, Brother Joe. Help. I said, I told you, but you told me to go to hell. Remember, I said, you don't want to mess with that girl. That girl don't want to be delivered. She is a bride of Satan. And she been brought here by Lord Egan. And I said, a lot of you are going to be challenged by, hey, I'm going to give you $200,000 to give you. All you got to do is just quit saying, in the name of Jesus, and don't be mentioning nothing but no tongues and all that stuff. And oh, that's all I got to do. Just don't say in the name of Jesus, preaching it. Yeah. And don't be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit is our weapons, y'all, not the bullets, not the guns, not the machine guns and that kind of stuff. And so, and they fall for it, and then they go, huh, have John and Brother Emmett. I want them to listen to me being crowned, triple crown bishop. And then what happened? And they say, you got anything to say? And I said, sir, I don't want to hurt your feeling, but you being tricked. But Lord Egan went to this. He's a white preacher, and he got a doctorate degree, and he said, and he was teaching me about deliverance ministry. He no deliverance ministry. That dude is the number one devil here on earth. And he has spoiled about 14 or 40 something churches, y'all, because he all called, be sure to call me and Brother Emmett. Ha, 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 ha. I'm going to cast out demons. I've been taught by Lord Egan. I said, God, oh, man. Lord Egan is the number one Satanist human being on this earth. And what he's going to do, he's going to bring a white woman. They're all white in their 30s, and they are witches. They are warlocks. They drink blood. They drink urine. And when they have mass, they screw each other on top of the altar table, man. You just jealous of me. I said, I ain't jealous of you, boy. I said, that's you. That demon going to tear you up. You just jealous of me. You just watch. I said, yeah, I'm watching. I said, and don't be saying, Brother John, help me, Brother John. Please help me, Brother John. I said, and I'm going to tell you where you can go. You just jealous. And sure enough, here he comes. Boom. Boom with his long staff. And his 50 deacons on one side, and the other 50 armor bearers on the other side, and he's riding on a horse with this robe that's dragging on the floor. You think he's some king or prince, something like that. And then he gets this, bring the demon. And then I say, where's that Lord Egan? And whoop, he's gone. I said, mm-hmm. You know, sneak out the back door. This white man, I sneak out the back door because he know it's going to help you. That demon going to cause you to lose your ministry tonight. Well, yeah, you jealous. I said, you will lose your ministry tonight if you do this, and you're going to get hurt. And so help me, God. May God strike me dead now. Every one of them who did that, they lost their ministry that same night because the demon said, oh, man, you ain't got nothing. He cast him, throw him up in the air, and he up there, help me. And the demon said, you can't. You don't have no power. Me, you screwing this person. You screwing that. And calling everybody in the church. We screwing, you know. And I mean, it was, oh my Lord. And the person we named, he'd get up and run out of the church because the pastor done told on him because he can't help himself now because he's scared. Yeah, the devil revealed. And they said, this thing is real. They see devil talking to people. And then they see plungers walking, riding down the aisle, and the plungers would ram up their butt. And say, you're mine now, you dummy. I told you not to mess with me. And tell them, Brother John. I said, Dar, you can't call me now. I said, somebody else going to have to bring you down. I told you. I'm sorry. And I said, yeah, I know. So just demons launch attacks in various ways in carrying out Satan's plan. They quote scriptures the wrong way, Matthew 4:6. They teach their own doctrines, 1 Timothy 4:1. They transform themselves into angels of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. You find that in Acts 13:10. They afflict the body with all kinds of disease and everything else. You find that in 2 Corinthians 12:7. They tempt with hypocrisy and lying. Acts 5:3, and so on. So now, I've accidentally hit the wall. Let me take it back. Wait a minute. Okay. Now, how does demons gain control? Huh? I get by myself what I can't do, can't even follow my own thoughts, and I'm taking orders from this demon. How did he gain control over me? All right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 ways I'm going to tell you how demons gain control of a person, man or woman. The first one is through generations. Demons may oppress or possess a person because of previous possessions or oppressions of the parents. In other words, you may some of them have, unfortunately, have parents who don't believe in God, some into witchcraft, some in astrology, and some Ouija board and all that. So the Bible says, if you dishonor me, not only you'll be hurt, but you can hurt your generation from 4 to 10 generations. And your child grew up to me, I don't know why I can't keep a job. I don't know why I'm always in jail every time I turn around. I don't know why I got this AIDS. I don't know why this happened to me and why I'm always sick. I have 6, 12 miscarriages and all these kinds of things because your parents got a curse on you and they don't know. And when they go to church, take to church every Sunday, it's just because it's for showcasing. They don't care about no God. They walk out of church Sunday, jump in the car, cuss each other out, and the husband maybe leave. I got to go to this meeting, baby, and go check out with some woman right quick. I knew one chaplain personally. Tell me, honey, I got to go to the hospital. No, you'll go ahead to the cafeteria, eat to the lounge there, and I'll join you when I can. I'll just bring my food home because I got to go visit the sick and shut in. Okay, baby. And then he go to some lover kind of thing house instead of really minister. I've seen it all in the church. Sunday school is a deacon, there's a pastor, and the whole nine yards. So generation. So, and then when I learned that, boy, I said, thank the Lord. Man, I said, God, you showed me that at the right time. Because when I was young, even before I got a ministry in the church, I was just a church attendant. And I ran across that scripture talking about, if you mess around and commit adultery on your spouse and this kind of thing, it came known in the scripture. It says, you would bring a curse on your children. Yeah, well, I see it now in Exodus 20. And say in Exodus 20, verse 5. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7, Deuteronomy 5, 9. Yeah, you will bring a curse on your child. The child grew up misbehaving, don't respect you, know anything else. That's because you have given a curse on your child. I don't know what to do with that child. I can't do it. I'm just about to have headaches, heartaches, and everything else. That's because the child can't help himself because God said, if you screw over me and mistreat me after I died for you, and you're going to laugh, and on Sundays, you up there, hypocrite, them, praise the Lord, and out there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, doing all that crap, like you some whoremonger or some trash, and then your son and your daughter grew up always in trouble, always in jail, and these kinds of things. That's number one, through your generation, I mean, because the parent is ignorant, they don't know, and they bring a curse on their children. Number two, how to gain control? Through the mind. The mind is one of the major battlefields of Satan. I'd like to expound on that just for a second. God says, when you want to fight the Germans and the Russians and the Chinese, where do you go? Well, we go to Germany. We go to all the countries where we fought, you know, in the past, in history. They said, none came over here because I was protecting you because on our car tags, you got, in God we trust. He said, but you can't take that. Just because you got in the back of the car don't necessarily mean it's true. I said, I understand. He says, through the mind. The mind is a battlefield. In other words, and I mean, this is hard. I couldn't figure it out. You know, I said, why I keep thinking this? Why I keep thinking that? I don't supposed to be doing that. Why? And this kind of thing. You know? And something I get more in the middle of the night to go buy some cigarettes when I'm my 20. I say, I thought I'd stop. I thought I'd quit. But when I throw a whole pack of cigarettes, smoke one, throw it in the toilet, and then go to bed at night around 3 or 4 o'clock, I get up and say, you crazy. I get up, put on my clothes, go to the store 3 or 4 in the morning, go buy a pack of cigarettes. You know, that kind of thing. So the devil comes to us, the mind is the battlefield. When I say battlefield, like I said, remember, when you want to fight the Germans, the Russians, and everything as you go over in their country. Well, guess where the battlefield is with respect to the devil, his demons? Our mind. You ain't going to do nothing unless you think it. Sometimes you have this thought over and over, and you just can't tell, yeah, I remember, not remember. I remember that was fun. I got thrills out of that. You keep on pounding that thought. You can't watch TV. You can't read a book because them good old nasty, sexual, crazy, lying thoughts keep coming to mind. And before you know it, and you're out the house, find some excuse to get out the house so you can hanky-panky with somebody or do something, okay? So the mind is the battlefield. That's how the devil get all of us to sin, all of us commit fornication, adultery, all to steal money out the offering plate, all to lie on somebody, all to slander somebody, all the thoughts coming to your mind. They don't come out there in the football field and then say, I got it. Or the baseball field, it goes into your mind. That's what causes you to sin. And he can bring it over. You can't get that man out of your mind. Can't get that woman out of your mind. You can't think about you want to be a millionaire someday, all these kinds of things. And you find yourself falling right back in that sin kind of a thing, you see. So gain control through your ignorance of your parents, through your mind. The mind is one of the major battlefields of Satan. If Satan controls your thoughts, he will eventually, y'all, control your actions. Lack of mental control eventually what? Results in a lack of use of your will, and this leads to what? Sinful action. And then continuing in sinful action, we're going to cause, that's why you find out you got a reprobate mind. It's like all these guys who threaten me and Brother Emmett get mad at us. The first thing they say, I'm coming down there and I'm going, what's the word they say? I'm going to ball jack you, boy. And I go, Brother Emmett, for the last 6 to 8 weeks, we'll be doing this thing because we don't like your teaching, you know. Ain't no such thing as demons and blah, blah, blah. And ain't no such thing as tongues and blah, blah, blah. I'm coming down there and ball jack you, boy. I said, what does ball jack? He said, John, you don't know ball jack me? I said, no. He said, that means he can come down there, can take your clothes off, and him and his boys, they're going to hold you down, and they're gonna ram your butt with their penises. I said, what? That's what ball jack means? He said, yeah. The preacher can see that right in church. One time he was cussing me and Brother Emmett. One time, I'll ball jack you, boy. And then so happened, you know, he thought he said something. He knew the congregation would listen, but he didn't know what we was going to do. I said, congregation, you heard your pastor, he's going to ball jack us. If you don't know what ball jack me, and they come in there and they're going to have sex with our behind, with their penis us. And you can hear the cold crowd in the church kind of a thing. And that's the first thing to come out all over my mind. This time I'm coming to beat the hell out of you. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to cream you. They all say we're going to ball jack you. I hear it every doggone day. And it's like tonight. Some are listening, and I know we hang up. And so I'm going to call it. Yeah, you tell that John. I'll be dying. I'll be coming out with a baby. We're going to ball jack him. You know, but God always protects us. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. And when they come, God got our back. So they come through the mind. Then demons gain control through sinful actions. Sinful actions start off with our thoughts. Sinful thoughts are soon fulfilled by what? Sinful actions. For example, you have the thought of adultery. And guess what? It is fulfilled in the actual act of adultery because you just can't stop thinking about that person. Sin is rebellion. And rebellious thoughts and actions provide an entry point for your low demonic activity. And guess what? When a believer continues in sinful thoughts or action, they give place to the devil. I don't know why I can't stop thinking about that man. I don't know why I can't stop doing this. I kind of trick the boss to get this job. I don't know why I can't. I can lie on this one and get her job or get his job. And they kick in my ass, take up something kind of thing. When a believer continues in sinful thoughts and actions, they give place to the devil. I say they give place to the devil. Where's that, Brother John? You find that in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 27. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 27. That's when a believer continues in sinful thoughts or actions, they give place to the devil. That's how they gain control. Another way they gain control is through desire. Some people, you find them mostly in Hollywood and all that, some people ask Satan for demonic power, and they perform supernatural acts and stuff like that, and magicians. They go, boy, he's a powerful magician. Look at that, man. He can make the thing disappear, reappear, and so on and so on. And look at it. And I've seen lately, so a couple of years ago, where a guy said, watch me. And he just elevate up off the ground by 3 or 4 inches. They go, wow, that man is really magical. He's powerful. And I look at him and say, man, is possessed with a demon. Ain't no man can stand on the ground and say, watch this. And he raised his whole body three or four feet from the ground. And then he lowered himself back down. Ain't no way. Then you see another man walking on the water. I've seen all the guys. They're supposed to be some of the greatest hypnotists and all that in the world. They walk in the real swimming pool and walk across on the other side on top of the water. Wow, he's really a top magician, my butt. He's possessed with a demon. Then I say, through an empty house. That's how demons gain control, through an empty house. What's an empty house, Brother John? Well, you know what the word says. When we come to accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then and only then does the Holy Spirit come and take up residence in us, and then we are known as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you, a teacher, a doctor, a dentist, a janitor, whatever, and you're going to church every day, you come, I got the Holy Spirit in me. Hey, praise the Lord. My body's a temple. No, no, no. If a man, boy, I say, Lord, you teach me a whole lot. If a man is lying with a woman, or lying with a man he ain't got no business doing, guess what? You ain't a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a temple of a demon. Because that demon ain't going to stay in you while you laying on top of that woman or you laying on top of that man. Well, it feels so good. And that demon, the Holy Spirit say, I'm out of here. I'm checking out. Bye. You know, and they don't even know the Holy Spirit is gone. You know, bless you, my child. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Kind of thing. And the Holy Spirit gone. Okay? So when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that's when the Holy Spirit comes because he has forgiven us of all our sins. But once you start backsliding, you can say, I forgive you. Forgive me, Father. He'll forgive you. But if that backsliding becomes continuous, you know, tragic and everything else, Holy Spirit says, I'm out. You're gone. And you don't even know it. You ain't got the Holy Spirit in you no more to guide you and everything else. Now, so that's what's called empty house. That means your sin can cause the Holy Spirit to depart from your body. Our body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is supposed to be a shack for witnessing. Witness you doing all your hanky-panky, okay? Then the last one I got as far as how demons gain control is through permission. See, some people want to be rich, some people want to be famous, so they ask the devil. You know, like movie stars and stuff. I used to write up when I was in my 20s and stuff, and the guy wasn't even saying they asked the devil to come into them and make them rich and stuff like that. So to sum it up on demons, how demons gain control, one, through generation, that's mom and daddy, don't believe in God, and they bring a curse on their child. Two, through the mind, okay? Satan can control your thoughts. He will control your actions. So you monitor your thoughts. You, I don't know why I can't stop thinking about this person. I don't know why I can't think about taking some money out the offering. That's the devil tempting you, man. That's a deeper spirit. And so just remember, through the mind, that's how the devil gain control. Because once you give into it, give into that woman, that man, or taking that money out the offering and everything else, you got yourself possessed. And don't even know. Then you can't stop. The third one, through sinful action, where y'all know what sinful adultery, fornication, and all this stuff, rebellion, and stuff. Through desire, some people ask Satan for demonic powers to enable them to perform supernatural acts. Like you see these magicians doing all these crazy things. You say, a natural human being can't do it. I just saw that man there. He sold himself to the devil. And then through an empty house, and that's the worst of all. That's the devil say, you disrespect me. You disrespect your Father God. You disrespect the Lord Jesus, and you disrespect me. I'm not going to stay in this vile body. And he walk around there, good evening, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the Holy Spirit gone, and they don't even know it. And through permission, as some people say, I'm going to ask the devil to make me famous, kind of a thing. Let me see, what time is it? Ooh, I still got 30 minutes. Hot day today. Now, demonic, how demons operate. Here we go, how demons operate. They demon spirit. You got spirits of infirmity. You got spirits of reducing spirits, and you have unclean spirits. Let me repeat that. That's just three major ones. I'll tell you what the others in a few seconds. You have spirits of infirmity. Well, first of all, demons of various natures operate as spirits of infirmity. They operate as seducing spirits, and they operate as unclean spirits. Satan uses them to do what? To war against man and body, soul, and spirit. How demons operate. They're opposite of God's will. That's their main objective. The word Satan means adversary. Satan is primarily God's adversary. He hates God because he got kicked out of heaven because he told me he won't be like God. He won't be a God too. He is secondarily man's adversary. Demons of various natures operate as spirits of infirmity and seducing spirits and unclean spirits. Satan uses them to war against man in the body and the soul and the spirit. Now listen to this. You have spirits of infirmity. What do you say, Brother John? Spirits of infirmity. These are spirits that afflict the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. You find that in Luke 13, chapter 10, and chapter 13, verse 10 and 17. You find that in Matthew, chapter 12, verse 22, chapter 17, verses 15 through 18. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 8, 38, and 2 Corinthians 12, 7. That's the spirit of infirmity. Let's talk about what those spirits do of infirmity, how they afflict the body. Then you got another identifier. You got seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. These spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrinal lies. We have his written word. That's a doctrinal lie, y'all. God told me to keep on saying it because the devil don't want y'all to learn to believe in tongues and all that, because once you get in tongues, you would get ready to do a benediction and you be led by the Holy Spirit and say, speak in tongues. Okay. And you go, yes, shekariana kataparasi. Hey, liala barase ke tiene ke shikiriane kataparaso la parayane ke ina sheketiana kalapuriate shikitiamarasokoriate. And I go, what language am I speaking? Sometimes when he gives me the language to speak, sometimes it's Spanish, and sometimes it's German. I mean, but I can pick up the dialect, but I don't know what I'm saying. And God would always have somebody in my presence, in that church, or in that cab, in that building, would tell me, say, sir, I didn't know you could speak German. Sir, I didn't know you were Spanish. Sir, I didn't know you could speak Italian. I said, I ain't know it either. And he told me exactly what I said. He said, what you doing? He was praising the Lord. Told me, thank you, Lord, for my salvation. And thank you. I praise you, Lord, kind of thing. So you have spirit of infirmity called sickness. And then second, seducing spirits. I said, these spirits afflict the spirit of man. They seduce him to believe doctrinal lies. We have this written word. And it says, tongues will. No tongue has. As you better learn the difference between past, present, and future tense. Will is not past tense. Has. Will is future tense. And that verse 10 saying that which is perfect comes. So we won't need that. And they pick on tongues. They don't pick on the knowledge. That's the third one. Proverbs in tongues and knowledge. The devil know you ain't that stupid. You ain't walk around talking, haven't you heard knowledge has ceased, huh? You stupid idiot. Knowledge has ceased. Now look at all the knowledge mankind again since the first century, huh? That was slick. Everybody's forgotten focus. Just go back and look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8. 9 and 10. 8 is prophecy has ceased. Prophecy, God may have you to speak prophecy to somebody. Say, thus says the Lord God, my child. He says to you, so and so and so. You delivering a message for the Lord. Sometimes, Lord, want to speak to the whole congregation. He said, thus said. That's right. When you see the prophets in the Bible, Old Testament, and every time they say something, they say, thus says the word God, and blah, 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 blah. Sometimes they go, blah, 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 thus says the word of God. They tell you, that wasn't me, y'all. That was God speaking through me. And then later on, when Paul and Matthew and all of them said, thus says the word, and Jesus said, and Jesus did. He said, I said, this is Jesus said, out of the Holy Spirit. And he ain't going to claim God's glory, not me. You got how demons operate. Spirit of infirmity, because you get sick. Seducing spirit. These spirits afflict the spirit of man. Seduce him to believe doctrinal lies. We have his written word. And be condemned to eternal punishment. You know what? I find, because the church I go to now, the pastor believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And shoot, man, people sitting there want to commit suicide and say, young lady, come up. And then he says, you think about it. How do you know that? The Holy Spirit just told me. And then he would pray for the person that they'd be delivered of that suicidal spirit. Sister so-and-so, lady, I know you guest here. Would you please come up? You've been to the doctor yesterday, and you don't mind. Let me whisper in here, because you may not want me to say to the whole congregation. She said, I don't mind. He said, the Lord told you when you had a physical 2 days ago and told you had breast cancer and you're going to need surgery. Yes, Pastor. He said, well, the Lord loves you. He heard your prayer, dear. He sees your heart. Come here. And he said, everybody grab hands. In the church, it might be 700, 800. Be grabbing hands. He said, Lord Jesus, just heal this sister of yours. I know you want to heal because you reveal it to me, your prophet. And I thank you, Lord, you'll be healed. And they said, somebody take the sister back there in the back room and check out her breast, would you? Because they felt her breast felt the lump. They went back there and she came back. You can hear people screaming back there and came back. The lump is gone. See, God only bless you with these gifts unless you really believe him and quit telling that lie from the devil talking about we have his written word. He just, if we want to know what he say, if we want to hear what he got to say, all we got to do is read his word. He still want to talk to us like he talked with Moses. That's what he told me. He's done. I want to talk to you just like I talked to Moses. I said, praise the Lord. Bring it on. and slowly it's coming in. I wish I'd learned what I know now when I was in my 30s and 40s. I cry sometimes in the middle of the night. I said, well, I'm learning all this in my 70s. Now here I'm 80, and you got me teaching spiritual warfare. I said, I wish I'd have known this one. He said, well, you were not taught right. And he says, and let me tell you something. Don't blame the pastors, okay? I said, what do you mean? He said, you got evil pastors and you got righteous pastors. The righteous one only taught what they were taught in school. You know, somebody had to teach them. They go to seminary, and they don't know if that pastor, man, the man sound all right. He's got all these degrees. So the man say, one and one is two. If he's been teaching, preaching for in school for 30 years, and he's saying one and one is five, you won't believe it because he was the man who taught you that. And you think he ain't been a preacher for 30, 50 years to teach lies. The man honestly thinks he's teaching the truth. So when he says, what I would do is I would convict your spirit and let you know there's something wrong with that, and I'll draw you to me like he drew me. I couldn't accept it. That's all I heard for 20 years as a message, and for 20 years as a Baptist, that's all I heard. We have this word, but the Lord wouldn't allow me to eat it, to receive it. And I just got on my knees and said, Lord, I don't know what to believe no more. And he says, go home, back home, down to Savannah, your sister, she'll tell you. And I went down and couldn't find out that girl could lay hands on the sick. She's speaking tongues, doing church. I agree, you learn that. I said, don't you still go to St. James Methodist Church? No. I go to St. James. It's a charismatic Pentecostal church, non-denominational. I said, oh. He said, I went there because the Lord told me. I was passing that church one day, riding by there, and the Lord said, this is your church, honey. And stopped me. And I looked and go, what? And she said, I got blessed for it because I did what the Lord told me to do. And my whole family wanted to beat the you-know-what out of me, Brother John. You know, but I hung in there, and God blessed her. So, seducing spirits will have you into lies and everything else. So don't believe that falsehood no more. Man, I get so mad, and I still hear it today. But I want y'all, see, because I don't want y'all to be offended, because when I say, well, you got a lot of pastors who teach a bunch of lies, stuff like that, hey, they don't know it's lies. Some of them, it's like me. I ain't learned till I got to my 70s almost, okay? And if you'd call me a liar, I know I'll beat the dude word out. Man, I'm a deacon. I'm head of the deacon boat. You don't call me no liar. I don't know the word. I'll beat the living you know what out of you, man. You must be crazy. You ignoramus. Well, that's because that's what I was taught. If your mama tell you that crossing the street on a green light is right, you won't believe mama, you know, until you get hit. Your mama taught me a lie, you know. But all pastors are not because they don't speak in tongues or because the spirit, or the gifts of the spirit is not operating in the church. That don't mean that they're ignorant and stupid and want to fall short. The man can love God just as much as somebody who's speaking tongues and everything else. But he's been taught. You're going to teach what you're going to, when you grow up, just like a lot of white folks, parents, teach their children that Negroes are ignorant, stink, and stupid and everything else. And I remember when I was a child going to school, walking through the white neighborhood, and I could see a 5 or 7-year-old white kid, so brother and sister playing on the porch. Look, there's a nigger, see? Look, there's a nigger over there. Woo! Yeah, I see a nigger. And the mother happened to hurt him and came in there and snatched him. Don't bring your buddy in. Because she thought I would come over there and kick some butts. And we go through. And then when I catch the bus, you know, get on the bus, and I was walking up on the bus, and one little girl, 13 years old, told me, why he sitting up here with us, mommy? Don't he know niggas supposed to sit in the back? You know, that kind of a thing. So you're going to interact with where you were taught until you know better. And so I don't condemn someone. Say, tongue test cease. And I just say, he don't know. And I just pray for him. I say, yeah, ignorant. I used to have enough guys. You man, you stupid. You don't know nothing. Man. You dumb. And you're supposed to be a doctor. No, I don't do that anymore. That man is saying what he's been taught. And you can't, and the Holy Spirit has to work with him like the Spirit did with me. And look when he worked with me, when I got in my 60s and 70s. And here I am, 80 years old, teaching this. Man, when I was 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, you couldn't give me $1 million to teach anything about demons, okay? So you got the righteous and the unrighteous, and you got the ones who've been taught and who have not been taught. And just pray for a person. That's all we do. So you got spirit infirmities, so seducing spirits, and then the unclean spirits. The unclean spirit, the demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. In other words, they are responsible for immoral acts. This is what these unclean spirits do to you. They're responsible for immoral acts, unclean thoughts, temptations, and they get bored. They know your weakness, and they know they have all the strategies there is. Let me see how long I got now. I got 15 more minutes. What do I say? Okay. Attributes of demons. Attributes. Boom. Here we go. You know that demons are spirits. You find that in Matthew 8:16, Luke 10:17, verse 20. They can speak. You find that in Matthew 8:31, Mark 5:9-12, and Luke 8:28. They believe James. That's chapter 2, verse 19. They exercise their wills, whatever they want to do, those demons. The Bible says that. So where does it say that? In Luke 8:22 and chapter 11:24. They can demonstrate intelligence. Well, the Bible said that angels are smarter than mankind. God made them higher than man. And because they became a demon, they don't care, they're stupid. They're just intelligent, evil spirits. They demonstrate intelligence. You find that in Mark 1:24. They have emotions just like we. The Bible said when they see Jesus, they fear. Have emotions. Where is that? Does John? You find it in James 2:19. They recognize Jesus. That's in Mark 1:23-24. They recognize Jesus. You find that in Mark 3:11 and Acts 19:15. And they have Superman, supernatural strength. You find that in Acts 19:16. Mark 5:3. Then you have to have supernatural powers like Superman. You find that in Daniel, the book of Daniel 9:21-22-23. And they are eternal. They don't die because they're spiritual beings. Like when we die and leave this body, go be in the presence of the Lord. We're there forever, with our grandmama, great-grandmama, grandpappy, and mother and daddy who have gone on before us. They are eternal because they're what? They're not fleshly beings. They are spiritual beings. Hot diggity dog. You find that they're eternal. I'm talking about those demons. You find it in Matthew 25:41. They have their own doctrine. We're no such thing as tongues. Triple Crown Bishop and blood. No healing nowadays. We have written words. God don't speak to us vocally no more. We have his written word. God says, I want to fellowship with all you guys. I wish y'all would tell them just to shut up. But the Bible says we're going to have to give an account for everything we did. But I sure hate for those guys when they stand before the Lord. Hey, did you know Mr. So-and-so died yesterday, or Reverend so-and-so, or Dr. so-and-so, and so-and-so, Miss so-and-so, and Mrs. so-and-so, they died. So, oh, Lord, they're going to stand before the Lord, and he says, you're going to say one or two things. Depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. So they have their own doctrine, they're lying about it. They are evil. Well, we know demons are evil. You find that in Matthew 10:1. That's why God told us to go and manifest those gifts. Because we can't beat a devil with our thoughts, y'all. No demon can defeat me. I know this and I know that, and I'm going to teach this and I'm going to teach that, and I'm going to act this way and act that way. He know we not. I'm not an angel. We gonna make mistakes. I thought I'm only human and that kind of stuff. And the devil said, "Keep it up, brother. Keep it up. And if you're behind that and that, you be mine, all mine," kind of thing. They have their own doctrines. Remember that now. Don't be talking about we have his written word, you know, kind of thing. Don't say that no more. Please, my God. You can have him. He wants to speak with you like he did with Moses. And that shocked the daylight out of me. I said, really? And then when I be running around there with Brother Emmett, sometimes these guys be called to tell them you and Brother John be coming to Baltimore. We don't like what y'all teach, so and so. And Brother Emmett said, John, the Lord just spoke to me. Tell him this. I say, okay. I say, Mr. So-and-so, you rebuking us and everything else. You right now in a hotel with a sissy, and you got your finger up his rectum and screwing it with your finger, and you talking about you going to ball jack over here, and click, you hang the phone, and it happened every time now. Y'all, so help me God. I wouldn't lie on the Lord. When we teaching now, those guys go, we coming to ball jack. That's all they say. You stupid, you ignorant, so. And then Emma say, John, the Lord just told me again, say, he got two guys in there. He got one guy laying across his lap, got his finger in his butt, and the other one, giving him a blowjob. I said, you got to be. And I said, what you doing in room 204, hotel so-and-so, on street, on this hotel, on sub street? Ah, hang the phone up. And some said, hi, how you know that? I said, go, God told Brother Emmett. Emmett told me. I said, I'm learning to hear his voice. I said, I know when the Holy Spirit is meant to me now. I said, but I'm still learning. I said, hear the voice of Jesus. And Emmett just laughed. I said, you get it, John. You get it, because you didn't know, because God knows you. Oh, John, he told me that he loves you. I said, I know he loves me. And he said, I got some new. And sometimes, you know, when God gives somebody give you a word from the Lord, before you say, I believe it, I believe it, I want you to do this, God, I want you to be this and all that, you better ask for three confirmations. Like, for an example, about 12, 13 years ago when I started really loving the Lord and everything else and being right and doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden I was teaching like I am now, and some guy who's listening to my teaching say, Brother, I'm going to speak to Brother John Meow as soon as he gets through. He said, we're not asking the question. He said, no, it's not the question. I got something I want to share with you. I'm a full believer just like you, Brother, and I love the Lord, and I can hear the Lord. And he says, okay. He said, Brother John, you don't know me. I'm from Dallas, Texas, so on, so on, so on. But the Lord told me to give you a word. I said, say on. I said, but, sir, I don't accept it. And go, oh, praise the Lord. I said, you know, I have to get a confirmation. He said, I expect you to do so, sir. He said, the Lord told me you're not going to die until you're 97. I said, nah, Lord, have mercy. God must be crazy. I'm 70. Yeah, okay, man. Don't forget. And then about 2 years later, a woman was listening at my teaching and everything else and said, before you cut off, Mr. John, can I speak to you a second? I know you're supposed to ask no questions. There's no question. I said, she said, you know what? And this happened about 3 or 4 years later. The Lord told me that you ain't going to die until you're 97. I go, what? And I go, that's the second one. And then 3 weeks ago, another gentleman was speaking. I was in the store. And this guy was a pastor. He says, sir, my name is so-and-so. You got to be a man of God. I said, well, I'm trying to be, sir. He says, well, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but if I ain't never happened to you before, but the Lord told me to tell you something, I got to be obedient to the Lord. I said, what did he tell you to tell me, sir? He told me that you ain't going to die until you're 97. I had that for three times. I got the three confirmations. So I know. I said, honey, your husband ain't going to check out until he's 97. I got, and she said, why don't you ask him for one more? I said, okay. And then, boom, with our brother Emma knowing, we was up here laughing and talking and stuff like that, and like we're doing right now, you know. And then Brother Emma said, he was teaching, you know, Brother said, hey, Brother John, we're the fellowship. Guess what? I said, what? He said, the Lord just, and he said, what? What did the Lord tell you? I said, tell you, you ain't going to die until you're 97. I go, what? And he said, golly, I said, don't you remember telling me? I said, no. See, when God tell you, speak for him, you're speaking by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're not speaking from your mind. So when you pop sign over by somebody, you don't remember what you said. I said, don't you remember telling me this about 3, 4, 12 years ago, man? I don't remember nothing. You know, and then here, God would tell me to say something to people. And as soon as she said, I receive it, Brother Emmett. And then you know what? 2 minutes later, Samuel don't even know what in the world he said. I said, don't you remember saying that to me? No, Brother John. I said, well, I forgot. Now, the Lord was speaking to you, and you was saying what the Holy Spirit was telling you to say. And then when that was over, boom, it's gone. You don't remember because it wasn't you. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So I got full affirmation that I ain't going to kick the bucket because he's still, I guess here I am, maybe. Look what I'm doing. I ain't never thought I'd be doing this. Told me I ain't going to die till I'm 97 years old. I said, okay, Lord. So anyway, attributes of demons, I'm through with that one. And then I got just 10 more minutes to go. So let me share a couple of demons, about demons, a few minutes. You got demons of principalities, okay? They're the most powerful demon of all the demons. They derive their power strictly from Satan himself, okay? They're the highest ranking in Satan's army, principalities. Then you got the next group called powers. These are demon spirits that what? Derive their powers and delegated authority from the principalities. You're the principalities over them, the powers. Then you got rulers of the darkness of the world. They are responsible for blinding the minds of people. Why? To truth and for facilitating sin. They're responsible for blinding the minds of people. When they say, don't you know tongue has teeth? And I go, that dang on. So I say, you Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you quit fooling that man. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. They are responsible for blinding the minds of people. Tongue has teeth and all this other kind of stuff. That's another rulers of darkness of the world, what they cause you to do. And then have you stepping down the church aisle with these robes and everything else on with 20 pallbearers on one side, 20 on the other side, and you got all these diamond rings, which cost 30, 40 pounds. That's not pride. That's not God. That's not spiritual there. And then you got spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, they all over trying to influence your mind to produce your thoughts and everything else. Then you have the common one is called devils and demons. A demon or devil is a supernatural spirit, possesses the nature of man, the nature of Satan, I'm sorry, and has the ability to give and distribute all kinds of stuff to you. They cause you to be possessed, and they possess your mind, your activities. They cause you to worship them. They can make people sick. They can communicate lies, and they can do all kinds of things. You got some called spirit birds, some spirit horses. And the last one I want to talk about, since I only got about like maybe 3 more minutes, you got familiar spirits. Now, the familiar spirit is really the one that can give you trouble, because like you're familiar with your mother. Nobody know your mother like you do. You're familiar because what? You was raised in the same household. You got familiar spirits like they in the military. Before they go to fight the German, the Spanish, whatever, they do a, you know, look out to see what chance they have. You've seen that in the Old Testament where God would always send, you know, to his soldiers to go and spy on the wicked ones to see if they had a chance of overcoming them. Now, familiar spirits, listen at this. They are reconnaissance teams. When I say reconnaissance, that's when you go and check out the enemy before you declare war and see if you got a chance of winning. So they are like reconnaissance teams. Their job is to spy and to take reports back to the headquarters. In other words, to say, no, we can make that chick. Shoot, man, she weak, Lord. I've been checking her out for the last month, and she weak. She falls for anything that good looking, tall and handsome and stuff like that. She into looks. We can do her. We can cause him to seduce her, but because she'd drop him as quick as he said drop him. Familiar spirits are demonic agents whose main assignments, y'all, are to become well acquainted with a person, a group of people. That's what they do. They follow you around, and you don't know it. You hunt, whatever you do, you got the door, and wherever you're going, whoever you lie to, mama, children, whatever, I got to go to this meeting. I got to go out of town. It ain't going out of town. I went across town and shagging out with somebody for a whole week, and the spouse think they out of town on the business trip when they across town all the time, kind of a thing, and vice versa. You have, what else do these familiar spirits do? Familiar spirits know your hot spots. What do you mean by that, Brother John? Familiar spirits know your hot spots. They know which buttons to push on your panty. They know your weaknesses. They know your strength. They know what you like. They know what you dislike. They know your passions and your pet peeves, what gets you going, what upsets you, and what distracts you, and your desires and your ambitions and your everything. Familiar spirits act as informants to Satan and the other demons. Say, hey, brother demon, yeah, you can see you like to have people commit adultery. You like people to, hey, that one over there, you can go into that one because that will receive you, because when you start giving their thoughts, they think that's them. They think that's their thoughts. They don't know your thoughts. So I find out that that's what they like. That's what they think all the time. So you go ahead and possess that person. They still think of their thoughts when you pushing them on, kind of a thing. I want to close with that. Familiar spirits, like I said, they form confederates, tracking activities of men and women. And then they go spy. They learn what you like, I said, what you dislike. They know your passions. And they assign the appropriate demon to you. This might be a demon who can really make you have passions, can make you love sex, can make you love masturbation, can make you love lying, and make love stealing, and all these kinds of things. The last two, you have unclean spirits. Satan even command unclean spirits. Yes, the same spirit Jesus cast out, and as the word suggests, that spirit is responsible for lewd, promiscuous, and immoral activities. And then you got the evil spirits, you got seducing spirits, you got odd angels, and they're called, and they follow their master Satan, who's known as Lucifer, devil Satan. He's known as Beelzebub, as adversary. He's known as Belial, the dragon, the serpent, the god of this world, the prince of this world, the prince of power. And the enemy in the temple, and he's known as the wicked one. And I close with that. God bless you. It's 10 o'clock now. Let me see, 8:30, 9:30, 10. Yeah, my hour and a half is over. God bless you. I'm Brother John, and Brother John is 80 years old, y'all. I never thought I'd be doing this at the age of 80. I thought I'd be chilling and minding my own business. God bless you, and I hope you learned something, and may God continue to bless each one of you. Good night, and be blessed.